This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
We get it almost every night. And when that moon gets big and bright, it's supernatural delight.
Well, how can it get any better than tonight at 7:30 in Winnipeg? The Blues and Jets, Game 5. Joining us, the voice of the Blues, Chris Kerber. Chris, your emotions this morning as we get ready for one of the biggest games. Well, the biggest game of the year so far.
Well, I'm excited, Frank. I'm really excited. I can't wait for this thing to go. Looking forward to seeing how this best of three between these two teams turn out. And it's such a tight series in so many ways that, I have no idea. They got a better chance of predicting the weather for me than me trying to understand how this game's going to go tonight.
We had TSN analyst Jamie McLennan on, and he refused to make a prediction. He just, I don't know. He says it's going to go to overtime of Game 7.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm the same way, too. I can still come up with a bunch of reasons why this thing could easily finish Winnipeg's way or how the Blues respond to it. It really is a pretty fascinating series along these lines. And it's not a surprise when you finish tied with 99 points after 82 games and the way things have gone, Frank. So, I expect the Blues to maybe make a lineup change or two, possibly today, and we'll go from there. But, Connor Hellebuck has played well in the last game. Jordan Binnington was excellent. The good news is we don't have to answer the question anymore of how do you think Jordan Binnington is going to respond.
Okay, so lineup changes. Fabry was the change in Game 4. What could be the possible change in Game 5?
My gut, especially because I think the change to Fabry was also necessitated by some of the play here in this building. I think Fabry stays in the lineup. At least that's my gut. If there's a move to be made, and the Blues haven't skated yet, Frank, so I haven't seen the line rushes yet. But if there's a move to be made, it may be on the defensive side of things where a Carl Gunnarsson could come in and bring a different element, not a physical beatdown element like a Robert Bortuzzo, but could bring a different element to the team in terms of skating the puck up the ice. Now, let's say, for instance, it would be Robert Bortuzzo that ends up out of the lineup if that move were to be made. Well, at that point now, you're impacting the penalty killing. Because he has been willing to put that body in, block some shots. And I know he blocked a couple of shots in that last game as well, albeit the penalty killing has been average. It's not hanging it on him. He's been tough to play against on the penalty kill. Made a terrific play, by the way, diving down. So they've got some lineup changes to make, some decisions to make. But when you've lost two games in a row, that's typically when you see the coaches try something different.
What about an evaluation of what we've seen out of Colton Parayko in this series? What do you think?
I think defensively our guys have been pretty good. Unfortunately, we're not seeing, Parayko and Dunn and the team as a whole skate up with the puck enough. So in that sense, I think they can be better. I disagreed, believe it or not, with the coach's post-game breakdown of that overtime game-winning goal. Colton, was able to get back and he stopped the guy with the puck. It was a Blues forward that came down and skated past the net instead of stopping right in front of the net. And if Shen stops right in front of the net, he's in place to defend against Kyle Connor. And I can think of three specific instances in this series where Blues forwards have not tracked back and taken a guy driving down the middle to help the defense out. Robert Thomas did it in an earlier game. He had that classic Patrick Laine 4-on-4 goal, where Pietrangelo and Schwartz got confused and let him go behind him. And so I really think defensively what could help the Blues is if these forwards come back and I think track and pick guys up better than they have.
I want to get your take on the evaluation of the first lines for each team. I mean, statistically, it's a no-brainer. I think their first line's a +7 and our first line is a -3. Have they been outplayed by that significant of a margin as the statistics indicate?
Well, considering the tightness of these games, my gut says the statistics aren't telling the whole story. But having said that, the other stat that you could look at is a very basic one, and that's points. And that's that top line for the Winnipeg Jets has picked up a combined 15 points, and the Blues' top line has picked up a combined 4. So without a doubt, you'd have to say that, especially in the head-to-head matchups, their top line is performing better than the St. Louis Blues' top line. The difference is to me, that's when the rest of the Blues' depth has to come up. And I know David Perron has had a solid series, you know, but there just hasn't been enough, you know, from some other contributors. Like, I think that Perron, Schwartz, Sundquist line has got to be more impactful. The best player on the ice in the last game was probably Pat Maroon, and Tyler Bozak and Robert Thomas both had terrific games, but they didn't chip the puck in. And at some point in time, I mean, we had Hitchisms, and now we've got Berubiisms. And to me, the Berubiism is, well, that's all great, but you got to score. So, the top line has to be better. At some point in time, Frank, the St. Louis Blues are going to hit a playoff series, have to hit a playoff season where they're going, our top players are dominating. And I can't say that that's happened here yet.
Not that it's the most important thing as we speak on this Thursday morning, but it's a great honor. The Selke Award finalists have been announced, and Ryan O'Reilly is one of them. I got to believe you think he's going to win this.
I think he should win it. Do I believe he's going to? It's such a reputation-based award. You know, I'm not sure that Bergeron belongs in that this year. Actually, the Stone surprised me too, but maybe not. I didn't know enough of what Mark Stone was doing with Ottawa as the worst team in the league, but I got a hard time believing that a guy that spent two-thirds of the season with the worst team in the league ends up being a Selke finalist. I think he should win it. Will he not? It's pretty cool to think, though, that you made a trade for a guy that is a Selke finalist, a King Clancy finalist, could be in the running for for the Lady Bing again. I mean, he only had 12 penalty minutes, and half of them came in the first couple games of the year, right? And so there's the potential for someone to be nominated for 3 awards, right? And we know 2 of right now. And again, the Lady Bing sometimes can be reputation-based, so who knows how that one's going to go. I think they announced that later today or tomorrow. But one of those – the idea that you could pick up a guy that could be up for 3 major awards, and the players you traded away for him, one finished the season, but a fraction, just not even anywhere the level of player that he was in Vladimir Sobotka. Patrick Berglund left the Buffalo Sabres, and Tage Thompson finished the season in the minor leagues. Now, they got a first-round draft pick out of it, but that first-round draft pick is now going to be 22 or later. You know,
wow.
So, I mean, that ends up being one hell of a deal, doesn't it?
Yeah, this guy could end up being one of the best players in the history of the Blues if he plays 5 or 6 more years.
Well, yeah, and they've got him under contract for another 4 after this. And Frank, you have to scratch your head and go, what in the world were Colorado and Buffalo thinking? And when you talk to, like, you get around this guy in the room, and there's nothing negative around him. I don't know what it was, but good for Colorado. I mean, Colorado, it was more of a contract situation that reared its head twice. He had signed an offer sheet from Calgary, and Colorado had to match, and things were a little sour based on that. Okay, fine. Buffalo, the idea that you couldn't use this guy to help steer your young guys, look what he's done for the Blues young guys this year. I mean, that's what a mistake by the Buffalo Sabres in my book. And good for them. I'm glad they made it.
And one final thought for you with what you just said about Patrick Maroon. Do you believe that a contract extension is coming? Do you think they're going to offer him 1 or 2 years in this offseason?
Nah, you know what? I don't know how to handicap that at all. I can just tell you my opinion on it, and my opinion on it is, I think if you can get Patrick Maroon for a 1-year contract at the same rate or around the same rate that you've got him for this year, I think you offer it. And the reason is I don't see anybody else in the organization coming up. I don't see anybody else to take that spot. I don't see anybody else to fill that spot. And I don't think you can have the confidence yet that it's Sanford, Blais, or McEachran. Kostin isn't ready. And the other thing too, Frank, and this is something that a lot of people don't really talk about. You could probably go out and maybe find somebody to fill that role from a free agency standpoint. You might have to offer multiple years. You might have to offer more money. I can promise you, no matter what you pay, no matter how many years you give, you're not going to get the care factor that this guy brings playing for his hometown, St. Louis Blues. And you're seeing the effectiveness of a guy like this in the playoffs because you still have to be able to grind it out low. And the Tampa Bay Lightning don't have anybody in that realm to play like that. And is that one of the reasons maybe they got swept out? Yeah, I think it is. But I'm all in favor of seeing him stay with the St. Louis Blues because I just don't see another player right now stepping in to fill that role with confidence.
Great stuff. We'll be listening tonight. Thank you so much, Chris.
Okay, Frank, have a great day today.
All right. The voice of the Blues, Chris Kerber, brought to us by Petromart. Petromart is locally owned and operated. It's a family business that's been serving St. Louis for over 30 years. Each location is just as clean, fast, and friendly as the next, with 50 locations to serve you. In a hurry, Petromart offers a wide selection of grab-and-go food items, pizza, fruit, salads. They have it all. Petromart, a proud supplier of Phillips 66 gasoline and a proud sponsor of the Blues. We're going to take a short time out. We're broadcasting live from the Schnucks in Hazelwood, Charbonnier Road. Easter bunnies will be here from 12 to 2 on Saturday. Kids can decorate and take home their own cookie free from 12 to 2. The food is outstanding. We're going to sample some brats here in a little bit, a little pineapple. And when we come back, Martin is going to join us. And also, Billiken extraordinaire assistant coach, the pride of Pattonville, Corey Tate. We'll be right back.